This is. Thank you for settling down. And it is so good to see so many of you here today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the South Fork. I am Nancy Arnold, interim minister with this congregation for today. I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. Whether you're here for the first time or you're a longtime member, we welcome you and invite everyone to stay for refreshments and conversation after the service. In this shared ministry, the minister leads services two or three times a month, and other services are led by worship associates or guest speakers. If you have a suggestion for a service or an idea that you think would enhance the worship experience, please speak with me or with one of the worship associates. You want to raise your hands? We are very blessed to have Walter Klaus with us this morning. It's a very nice going away gift for me. So thank you so much for being here, Walter, and we are looking forward to hearing your music once again. As we prepare ourselves for worship, please silence all electronic devices until the service has ended.
Thank you.
holy ground, for that place is holy where lives touch, love moves, hope stirs. We meet on holy ground, brought into being as life encounters life, as personal stories merge into the communal story, as we take on the pride and pain of our companions, as separate selves become community. May our souls capture this treasured time. May our spirits celebrate our meeting in this time and in this place, for we meet on holy ground. I invite you to join by reading in unison as Bev lights our chalice this morning. We gather this hour as people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together. Our opening hymn is number 1010 in the Teal Hymnal, We Give Thanks. Kent, do you want to help lead this a little bit, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Please rise in body or in spirit. Message, I thought I'd share two of my favorite story readings with you. The first is from the folk tradition. It's called In Honor of Friendship. Two friends lived on adjoining lands, one alone and the other with his wife and children. They harvested their grain, and one night the man without a family awoke and looked at his sheaves stacked beside him. How good God has been to me, he thought. But my friend with his family needs more grain than I. So he carried some of his store to his friend's field. And the other, surveying his own harvest, thought, how much I have to enrich my life. How lonely my friend must be with so little of this world's joys. So he arose and carried some of his grain and placed it on his friend's stack. And in the morning, when they went forth to glean again, each saw his heap of sheaves undiminished. The exchange continued night after night until one night, in the moonlight, the friends met, each with his arms filled on the way to the other's field. At the point where they met, the legend says, a temple was built. It was this kind of generosity and care that built this congregation, making it the place that it is today. The second reading is called The Mirror of Friendship. It's a story from Elizabeth Mowski. It's based on a story from her mother. On her frequent trips on foot to Temuco, an old Araucanian Indian woman used always to bring my mother a few partridge eggs or a handful of berries. My mother spoke no Araucanian beyond the greeting, my, my, and the old woman knew no Spanish, but she drank tea and ate cake with many an appreciative giggle. We girls stared fascinated at her layers of colorful hand-woven clothing, her copper bracelets and coin necklaces, and we vied with each other in trying to memorize the sing-song phrase she always spoke on rising to leave. At last, we learned the words by heart and repeated them to the missionary who translated them for us. They have stayed in my mind as the nicest compliment ever uttered. I shall come again. For I like myself when I am near you. And that has been my experience with all of you. And that is the compliment that you want to hear from your visitors each time they return. One of the things I have admired most about this congregation is the way in which you take care of each other. Community is woven in many different ways. When you care for one another in times of need and celebrate with each other your joys, your presence becomes a shared blessing. Let us now bring into this circle of caring all those who desire connection this morning. If you have a personal joy or sorrow, a concern or hope, please raise your hand and I will bring you a microphone while Bev lights a candle representing the love of this congregation. Please say your name, speak directly into the microphone, and please be brief. The quiet is within you. The stillness is in you. The silence will hold you. Here may you find peace. There comes a time when all the cosmic tumblers have clicked into place and the universe opens itself up for a few seconds to show you what's possible. These words from the fictional 1960s writer Terrence Mann framed the movie Field of Dreams. I'd like to think that our interim time together has been an opportunity to show you what is possible. Like religious communities, Field of Dreams is about building something on faith and vision. It reveals to us what is possible if we allow ourselves to be moved by a vision or called forth by a voice. Almost 2 years ago, we began our ministry together by singing, "Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going?" Since then, those are the questions that have guided a lot of our work together. You have courageously examined many aspects of your congregational life. You've reviewed the past, identified your strengths and challenges, and envisioned the congregation you would like to be by 2020. Unlike the voice that called out to a farmer, "If you build it, he will come," you hear the call of many voices. Some of them are yours. Other voices have not yet found their way to this meeting house. In the small group envisioning process, you are more consistent than not. Who or what will UUCSF be by 2020? You will be a diverse congregation of different beliefs, interests, ages, ethnicities, socioeconomic, sexual orientations, family status, and education. There will be more mingling of the generations through religious education classes and shared activities. As a congregation, you will be an integral part of the community because of the partnerships that you have formed with area groups to address current issues and needs. You will be a green sanctuary congregation that is an environmental leader in the community. The meeting house will be a spiritual center offering year-round programs that reflect the diversity of the membership and the surrounding community. The meeting house will reflect your UU values of respect for human dignity and accessibility for all people. It will be aesthetically attractive and visible in ways that invite people in. And with these efforts, you will be a growing congregation because you have created a spiritual home in which seekers feel welcomed, accepted, and nurtured. How will you become this congregation of your dreams? It could be summed up in three areas: better communication, increased outreach, and collaborative professional and lay leadership. You will begin by listening to each other's voice in ways that engender trust and respect. In the movie Field of Dreams, the voice has a very prominent role. It calls out to a farmer working in his cornfield, "If you build it, he will come." Ray Kinsella is the farmer who hears the voice, but he doubts what he's hearing. "If you build it, they will come." Like Ray Kinsella, some of you may have doubts about what you're hearing from each other. Ray sees a vision of a baseball field complete with night lights just beyond his cornfield. You see a vision of a vibrant, all-inclusive community of faith that grows its soul together. Ray suddenly knows that he is to plow under his cornfield, his livelihood, and build a baseball field so that he will come. You have already built a meeting house, and they didn't come. But they will come if you build on the strong foundation you have here as a community by offering the kind of hospitality that makes visitors feel as if they belong. Ray decides that the he who will come is Shoeless Joe Jackson, a ball player suspended from the Chicago White Sox for throwing a game in 1932. But like the they who will come here, Shoeless Joe brings others to play on the field because he likes what he has found. The Field of Dreams attracts men who harbored regrets about their failures or shortcomings as ball players. Religious communities attract people in need of healing who are adrift in a search for meaning in their lives. Religious communities tell stories to their children to teach them right living. Ray was told baseball stories by his father, many of them about his father's hero, Shoeless Joe. Ray's father had never made it as a ball player himself, so he tried to make his son into one. At age 14, Ray refused to play catch with his dad anymore. He left home right after high school, and he never went back until his father's funeral. When he left, he told his father that he could never respect a man whose hero was a criminal. His dad died before he could take back the words. Ray's penance is to live with that regret. Houses of worship offer forgiveness and reconciliation. Now approaching middle age, Ray is afraid he is turning into his father. He recalls his father as never doing a spontaneous thing in his life. Ray thinks his father must have had dreams, but all he can remember is a man worn down by work who was already old when Ray knew him. When Ray hears the voice in tone, "If you build it, he will come," Ray knows he must act on his vision. It's too late to make things right with his dad, but he can build a baseball field to bring back his father's hero. Ray Kinsella is a dreamer who builds a field of dreams where his corn once grew. When Shoeless Joe Jackson finally appears one night, he asks, "Is this heaven?" "No, it's Iowa," Ray responds. The baseball field becomes a place where people's dearest dreams come true. Shoeless Joe is thrilled to be back on a baseball field with all its sounds and smells. He's happy to be back playing the game he loves so much. He invites other band players to join him on the field of dreams. The game is visible only to those with a vision for what might be. Ray and his family watch the games from their own bleachers, and Ray tells his daughter the stories of the players while they demonstrate their idiosyncrasies. Each night after the game, the players disappear into the rows of corn that border the playing field. They don't even stay for coffee hour. Ray has built the field, and he has come. But the voice returns. "Ease his pain," the voice says this time. Through a series of coincidences, Ray decides he's supposed to ease the pain of Terrence Mann, his hero from the 1960s. Terrence Mann was a writer whose work in the civil rights and anti-war movements influenced a generation of youth. He too loved baseball, and in fact, he had used Ray's father's name in one of his stories. Now he creates interactive children's games, and he really just wants to be left alone. Ray travels from Iowa to Boston to take Terrence Mann to a baseball game at Fenway Park. While at the game, they both hear the voice say, "Go the distance." This time, the voice is accompanied by the lighted game board, which flashes the name of Archibald Moonlight Graham. Moonlight Graham played one inning with no chance at bat with the New York Giants in 1922. Ray and Terrence decide to go the distance together and drive to Minnesota in search of Moonlight Graham. They meet him as Doc Graham, a man who left baseball to study medicine. Doc Graham described the one inning he played in the majors as coming this close to your dreams and watching them brush past by you like a stranger. "Sometimes we don't recognize the significant moments of our lives while they're happening," he tells Ray. "I thought, well, there'll be other days." That was the only day. His one regret in life is that he never got a chance at bat. Faith communities provide a place for second chances. Ray and Terrence return to Iowa with the young Moonlight Graham, and you're going to have to watch the movie to find out how that happened. It's way too complicated and a little more unbelievable than the rest of this, which is a stretch, admittedly, it's a stretch. Well, while Ray was away listening to voices, the bank foreclosed on the farm. and yet Ray resists signing over the farm to the bank. As they watch the game, Ray's daughter tells him that he doesn't have to sell the farm because people will come to watch the game. And Terrence agrees. People will come to Iowa like children, longing for the past, he says. It'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic water, and they'll be willing to pay $20 for the experience. The one constant has been baseball. It has been erased and rebuilt again. It reminds us of what was good and what could be again. People will most definitely come. Churches have been around a lot longer than baseball. Many people attended the house of worship as children, and they left when they no longer believed what they were hearing. This is especially true of the children of the 60s and 70s, and now their children, the Gen Xers and millennials. Baby boomers learned to substitute political involvement and social action for religious conviction and spirituality. Many raised their own children with no religious affiliation. Now middle-aged, with children and sometimes grandchildren, they may still be searching for some meaning in their lives. And they are in need of vision, reconciliation, and forgiveness. They are in need of a place to belong. After the game, Terrence joins the players as they leave the field. There's one lone player on the field after the others depart. The man is Ray's father. When he was a young ball player, his dad asks, "Is this heaven?" Ray, of course, tells him, "No, it's Iowa." "Heaven is the place where dreams come true," his father says. "Maybe this is heaven," Ray responds, "excuse me." And then he asks his dad if he wants to have a catch. And as they toss the ball back and forth to each other, a stream of cars can be seen approaching the field. Field of Dreams reveals what is possible if we allow ourselves to be moved by a vision or called forth by a voice. As children, many of us were encouraged to dream about what life could be like for us. Later, we may have learned to be realistic and work towards something sustainable. We may have put aside our dreams in an effort to deal with life in the here and now. Like Ray Kinsella and the players who joined him on the Field of Dreams, we may harbor regrets that we would like to make right. Building a field of dreams is an opportunity to live out a vision, reconcile the past, and forgive ourselves and others for past transgressions. Religious community is about vision, reconciliation, and forgiveness. It reminds us of what was good and what could be again. If you build it, they will come. Ease their pain. Go the distance. People come to congregations such as this in search of community and meaning for their lives. Like Ray Kinsella, they are evaluating their lives and what might have been. They want to discern a vision of what might be still. They seek out other people with whom to dream and act. Rather than build baseball fields, some of us build congregations and churches. The religious landscape in this country shows that UUs and other liberal faiths include less than 10% of the population. Christian churches lead with 78%, with the greatest numbers being found in evangelical congregations. However, there's an untapped population to which Unitarian Universalism could be attractive. Atheists, agnostics, and nothing in particular. This population has seen the greatest growth in numbers as a result of changes in affiliation. People nowadays want a church that offers a broad range of choices in teaching, scheduling, and programming, according to one sociologist. People are seeking some meaning for their lives. Congregations that can address the question, "What does it all mean?" in a non-threatening manner are bound for glory. As one pastor put it, boomers, their children and grandchildren are looking for a religious experience that makes sense of their lives and gives them some answers to their questions. To the extent that a congregation can do that, it will be successful. That is the voice you've been waiting for. What better place than a Unitarian Universalist congregation to help people consider questions such as, what does it all mean, in a non-threatening manner? Like Ray Kinsella, people want to live out their dreams and make them real. Like baseball, congregations have been erased and rebuilt and can be again. If you begin with a vision of what might be possible, and if you allow yourselves to dream. People today are very much in need of what you have to offer. You can provide a welcoming community for all ages, small discussion groups, worship, social action opportunities, and fellowship. You can be a full-service congregation with programs to meet the needs of all kinds of people, families, singles, gay and straight, people of color, and folks in the greater Bridgehampton community. You have it in you to become a field of dreams for many more people than you serve today. If you build it, they will come. Now, you might be wondering what you're supposed to build, since you've obviously already built a beautiful meeting house. Grounds could use a little work, but basically it's nothing that can't be addressed with a good decision-making process and then taking some action. But in a sense, the meeting house is part of the problem, because untold hours and energy and dollars were invested to construct this meeting house. Prior to that, when you were renting in Watermill, what attracted people to the congregation was a feeling of being in a community with like-minded spirits who worked together with compatibility and respect. There were people like George and Ann Baird who were very intentional about making people feel wanted and known. They were community builders who practiced the art of hospitality by making newcomers feel at home. Most felt as if they belonged because they were invited in to participate in the life of the congregation. So what changed? You turned that energy toward constructing this meeting house. There was less personal reaching out and intentionally drawing people in. A number of people who helped with the building project disappeared after it was completed. There was an increased emphasis on money and the need for survival. The gift of having your own building was tempered by the challenges such ownership created. One reason you left Watermill was to have more space for children and programs. There are fewer children here now than when you were in Watermill. If you build it, they will come. What will you build? You will build here an intentionally welcoming community that draws people in and makes them feel they belong. You will build on the strong foundation you already have here to offer them the spiritual home that you love so much. What else will you build? An organizational structure that is less demanding of volunteer time and energy. Some of this is already underway. Bylaws and organizational structures are being streamlined and made more manageable for your size. You now have a fabulous administrator who is eager to tackle anything asked of her to relieve volunteers of tasks. And you've hired a young, dynamic minister to help you grow into your dreams. There comes a time when all the cosmic tumblers have clicked into place and the universe opens itself up for a few seconds to show you what's possible. I am a dreamer, and I believe that now is the time for this congregation. This place made sacred by your design can be a field of dreams where you ease each other's pain and go the distance. Ray Kinsella's dream brought together his wistful childhood memories with the chance to right a wrong with his father. The pain he eased was his own, and his father's, and all the other players who had lost something they loved. The distance Ray traveled was over time and generations of hopes and regrets. The baseball field provided the opportunity for people to return to what they loved most and to live out the dreams that had failed them in the past. Can you as a religious community, not offer people at least that? The voices you must heed are your own, perhaps inspired by something greater than yourselves. You want to be known as the liberal religious voice in the greater Bridgehampton area. You are ready for a chance to be a presence, not only to each other, but to the world outside these walls. The players are all out there. They're waiting for you to invite them in, waiting for you to make a place for them where they can realize their own dreams and claim what they have lost or perhaps never known. And once people come and discover what you have to offer, they might ask, "Is this heaven?" "No, it's the UU Congregation of the South Fork," you'll answer. But heaven is the place where dreams come true. May you make it so. Mark?
So here's where we truly begin to say goodbye. This is a litany to end our partnership. When Nancy came to serve this congregation in 2013, we began the interim ministry by entering into a covenant. Today, we mark the end of this relationship. Will our members please rise in body or spirit? You'll find the script in your insert. We welcome you as our interim minister at the threshold of our eternity.
With gratitude, I joined you in partnership to begin our ministry together.
In this time of transition, we join our hands and hearts, our vision and voices, to dream what we might become as a beloved community. We promise to disagree and agree with you, to heal and not harm, and to freely venture the untried.
With you, I listened deeply to the longings of your hearts as you dreamt of the beloved community you wished to become. To the best of my ability, I disagreed agreeably with you as you affirmed your sacred trust in one another and prepared to venture boldly into the future.
We recognize that the professional ministry of this congregation is fulfilled not by one minister, but by those who come before and ministers who are still to come. Knowing this, we hereby release you from your covenant with us. We will greet our new minister with open hearts. We send you on your way and wish you well. We will honor your gifts of us by sharing them with others.
When we started, you pledged to work with me to carry forward the ministry of this congregation. I now release you from your covenant with me as you prepare for the arrival of your next minister. The spirit of love and life we shared together remains. Know that I will always keep you in my heart.
In gratitude for this life we shared together, let us say amen.
And now, as long as you're standing, let's join in singing hymn number 1008 in the teal hymnal, "When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place."
Thank you.
join in the words to extinguish the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. I invite you to join hands, if you wish, for our benediction. There is no beginning, no end to what you have started or what you can do together. The time is now. You need all the love you can give to keep your lives bright and to spread warmth, inward to yourselves and outward to others. Now is the time to do good things for one another in this place made sacred by your design. May you be blessed by the love that you share and moved by a vision of what you can become. Blessed be.
Your talents are a fitting tribute to this day. One superb professional playing tribute to another.
My privilege.
Thank you. So we all know this is Nancy's last day in the pulpit as our interim minister. Who knows? Things happen in the future. For all our congregation, thank you, Nancy. You knit us together when we thought we'd lost the only minister we would ever know, and we discovered we hadn't lost her. Your kindness and wisdom have really helped build us. To help remind you, or remember, so you can remember us, forever, we've got a few gifts. In fact, I see four, or is it five? Five. First of all, this is a color copy of the summer journal with this dedicated to you, with three pages of thanks and compliments from your congregation. Another journal, which we have prepared, is all the people that didn't get their notes into that have written them here.
Anyone who hasn't signed it is welcome to do it after the service.
And this frame that Carol has is signed by all of us, and in it will be the photograph of the congregation that we'll take later on today.
Thank you.
And we also have a Ruth Jacobson collage, which is a donation from the congregation to remind you of this spot here that you stood for 2 years. And here it is. That's great. No, let me get into it. And I think there's another gift, a Carolyn Bistrian ceramic someplace. Carol? And I don't see Carolyn here.
No, she's not here today.
Right. But it's there. Here we go. So Nancy visited Carolyn in her workshop months ago. And admired this, the work that Carolyn was doing. So thank you very much. So in a sad day, in one sense it's a sad day, but in another sense it's a real joyful day. For in a few weeks we'll have a new minister here. And thanks to Nancy, we are all well prepared and we're looking forward to having her in this pulpit. And it will be 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Thanks. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
And now for our group picture, right?